Joining us is Whitney Parks. Now, Whitney grew up in Indiana. She went to high school at Center Grove, moved to Florida, and she has had quite the journey with Hurricane Ian. Whitney, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Tell us about what this week has been like for you in Florida.
Well, thanks for having me. So it's been a journey. I will say the good thing about hurricanes is that you do have time to prepare, and I live in Safety Harbor, which is in Pinellas County. You'd probably be more familiar with Clearwater Beach. I am just on the other side, on the bay side. So we were expecting a direct hit, and for that we boarded.
I think I lost you. Are you there?
Try again.
Let's try again. Okay, so the last part I heard is you were anticipating a direct hit, and then you go from there and tell us what happened instead.
Okay, so being that we were one block from the water, we were anticipating a direct hit. The surge was the biggest factor for us. We were looking at 10 feet of surge on top of a high tide, on top of feet of rain that couldn't drain into the bay. So in the best interest of my children and our pets, we decided to evacuate. We came to the East Coast because at that time, we were supposed to be in the all clear over here. And Ian decided to, I'm sure some of you would remember, to pull a Charlie and make a pretty good right hook into Southwest Florida, into Fort Myers area. And if you've watched the news, you've seen snippets, I'm sure, up there of pictures, but complete and utter devastation. So I know that we made the right choice in evacuating our area, because if he wouldn't have made that sharp turn, I can pretty much guarantee I wouldn't have a home to go back to. The surge was just catastrophic. So we are thankful and very blessed that our home in particular is safe, but also sad for our neighbors to the south. Ian's big. He's big. And the bigger the storm, even if the intensity is not there, the worse the surge is, which is absolutely devastating. So couple that with the Ian is also 1 mile per hour shy of a Category 5, which is obviously on the scale the highest that it goes. So you couple something of the magnitude and the size of Ian with the power of Charlie, and it is a recipe for absolute disaster. Our entire state was pretty much under a hurricane warning. Most everybody was under orders to try and prepare and try to evacuate if you could. Unfortunately for Southwest Florida, they only had 24 hours to evacuate because it just wasn't projected to go there. It was projected to come into the Tampa Bay area. And they just really got hit hard. And then he moved across the state. So he hit Fort Myers and he cut up through Orlando. So he hit Orlando last night at about a Category 1 or 2. So they definitely have some issues there. And now I am in St. Augustine. Luckily, I chose a rental house that is inland a little bit, but we are flooding and we are experiencing our power going in and out. We are definitely in the thick of it right now. Granted, he is a tropical storm at this point, but our wind speeds are about 60 miles an hour. And we are still dealing with the surge as he heads back out into the Atlantic and heads for Georgia and South Carolina. We just don't see storms of quite this magnitude very often. So I just feel very blessed to have been able to prepare my home and prepare my children and our family to get to a safe place. It's not fun. It's not fun watching. It's not fun being stuck inside your house, but we are safe. So that's what matters most. I just it's hard to explain something of this magnitude without seeing it, to see the winds and to see the devastation that it can cause. And we really, really pray for, you know, those who weren't able to evacuate that got the direct hit, and just the recovery efforts that are being made now that the storm has left that area. And we hope that we don't see something like this again for a very long time.
Do you know anybody who maybe got hurt or that you haven't heard from? Have you heard about any injuries to people you know?
Okay, yeah. So I have an uncle and a cousin who live in Fort Myers. They live inland in technically what's called Lee Acres. I have heard from my cousin Ben. His house, his roof is gone, but they are safe. They are working on getting their generators up and running and just finding ways to make it through. Unfortunately, Ben also has a new baby, so I think things are a little stressful right now. I have not heard from my uncle, but he does live close to my cousin, so I feel like they're probably banding together in that location. You know, they're conserving their phones, so they were able to get one message out because, you know, you don't have cell phone service, you don't have internet service. Unless you have a satellite phone, you're not able to communicate to the outside world. And it's going to take weeks for that to be cleaned up and put back together. You know, these aren't things of this magnitude that sweep in like this. It's not something where they're going to be able to restore all of that back overnight. It's going to be a very, very long process. Currently, we are blessed from Indiana alone. We have 700 linemen that have come down to just my area, which would be the St. Petersburg, Clearwater area. We had 700 linemen at the Tropicana, the Rays baseball stadium, preparing to go out there and restore power in our region. There are probably a good 100,000 linemen in the state that are lined up. We've seen this before with Irma, where literally just linemen flood the state waiting to help and restore power back to those that need it. But with something of this magnitude, it is going to take a very long time. And in some places, it's a total loss. So it'll be a complete rebuild of towns, of islands, of cities. So we just pray for those people and just that they can rebuild, that we will rebuild.
So, you have loved Florida. Long after high school, you wanted to get out of Indiana and go to Florida. Has all of this maybe changed your perception of Florida, or do you want to stay here despite all of this?
Oh, I will stay. Okay. So to put it into perspective for those who maybe don't have much experience with a hurricane, I moved down here in 2006. I have been here for 16 years. I have evacuated twice. I evacuated for Irma back in 2017 because I had a baby. I just felt that it was the right thing to do. We actually drove all the way back to Indiana, not knowing what was in store. We boarded up our house and hit the road. So fast forward 5 years later, I now have 3 children and boarded up my house and hit the road as well. But in 16 years, I have left twice. It is not common for us to have storms of this magnitude. It's just not something that happens with this storm. Ian in particular, we have not seen something of this magnitude in Florida. So we had Katrina, but in Florida in over 100 years. So it's just not very common. And I don't think I'd leave. I love it down here. I mean, you do have to think we had a week to prepare. So if you compared it to a tornado, that is an instant, like, it comes and goes instantly. You don't have time to prepare. I would still take a hurricane any day.
And you are also a real estate agent in Florida. How do you think all of this will maybe impact your job? Because, I mean, you have to try to sell properties and things, and I'm sure a lot of properties have been damaged by this.
So, funny story on that. Yesterday, Wednesday, as Ian smashed Fort Myers, I was actually supposed to close on a home down in that region. with some friends from Indiana who are purchasing a home down there. Obviously, that has gone to the wayside for now. I will be traveling down there next week to check on it. It wasn't a direct on the water place, but it is close enough that I need to go check the damage that was done, hoping that there is none, but we will see. I think hurricanes definitely affect the real estate business. I mean, you're going to have homes that are damaged. Luckily, where I'm at, he took that hard right, and so I really won't be affected that much. But for those in Southwest Florida, that line of business will probably be closed for a little while people are forced to fix up the homes, wait for insurance to come through. You know, they're going to have to kind of step away from that for a little while. It is something we worry about. I don't want to say it's the fun of it, but it's the job. It comes with the territory. And that could be anywhere, really. I mean, California has earthquakes, Indiana has tornadoes, you know, there's stuff everywhere. So it's just part of the job. It comes with the territory.
So what are you doing to conserve power? How are you trying to, like, you know, I know you're probably thinking just in case things go down, I'm sure you have some proactive measures in place. So what are some of those that you're doing?
So first and foremost is filling everything with water, freezing it if you can, because if the power goes out, you can move those frozen cubes, storage cubes, you know, whether it be a plastic container or whatnot, making all the ice you can, bagging it up in plastic baggies, because you can switch those over to a cooler, or if they're in a safe container, you can switch them into the refrigerator. It will actually keep your refrigerator colder longer so the food doesn't spoil. The next step is making sure that you fill up, if you have a washing machine that is upright, you can fill it with water so that you can flush toilets. You continue to use the bathroom. If you have a bathtub, you do the same. You fill it up with water and then just use that to wash your hands, flush toilets. You know, you can, luckily the house I'm in right now has gas, so I can always boil water if need be for drinking or anything like that. But we pretty much have plenty right now. And then just making sure you have foods that are non-perishable. It's okay to have a few things in the freezer and in the fridge, but just knowing that they might be lost, if the power goes out for too long. The other good thing about this storm, well, semi-good thing, is that the power does go out. The storm has taken most of our heat and humidity with it, so it is about 72 degrees outside right now, so definitely livable. We won't be sweating too much if the air conditioning goes out. Definitely have seen it in the past where it's gone out and it's still been 90 degrees, which is the absolute worst. And then your homes are typically boarded up, so there is no airflow inside the home. That makes it very difficult. But yeah, just making sure you have plenty of batteries, plenty of flashlights, making sure that your phones are charged, also charging your laptops, any device that could get a message out. And then making sure, you know, I personally have a couple of charging bricks. So those are full power, making sure my kids' iPad went on. and then just making sure everything's secure, you know, like there are little things. You're like, okay, I brought in the furniture, but do you have, you know, potted plants? Do you have things maybe like faux shutters on the side of the house that could blow off? You kind of just have this checklist of things that you go through. And you just know, hey, you might be taking a wet white bath for a few days, and that's okay. That's okay. We will survive.
Well, I am glad you survived. I know that you are doing everything you can to stay safe, and I don't want to keep you too much longer. Whitney Parks, who grew up in Indiana, she's in Florida now, trying to weather and get through Hurricane Ian. Whitney, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.